I don't hear it.
Blog Talk Radio.
What about the mic?
The mic is on. So
I think my headphone the headphones need to be plugged into it.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, good. Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, April the 18th of 2023. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it is great to be with you tonight. We have a little bit of echo for a second. Again, I'm sure we're getting that fixed. But again, as I say, this is not the Lion King. Maybe you do know which movie I'm talking about. Maybe you don't, because we have people, of course, tuning in from different countries. And so it's not like it's just America and we got, you know, the vast majority of people have, in fact, watched the Lion King, the original Lion King from 1994. And I haven't watched it in years, but it's a great film. You get a chance to watch it. If I were you, I would watch it. And I'm sure we're getting that fixed, but this is a Tuesday, and so I try to do something sometimes on Tuesdays when I have a chance. It's Testimony Tuesday, and you know, that's where, you know, someone can have a chance to share about what God has done in her life. And sorry to put you on the spot, Jade, but it is, I'm going to have you kind of share your testimony about what God's done for you.
Oh, you okay. Yeah, I was not prepared for that.
Well, I was going to do that tonight, and
well, hey, I am honored to be on your show and tell my testimony then.
Thank you.
Not done that before.
All right. Always a first time for everything. Everything has a first time.
That is true.
Yep.
So you want me to go now or?
Go ahead.
All right. Well, I was raised as a Christian and I was in a certain rather strict Christian upbringing, but I had some experiences that I fell away from Christ and I fell away from what I know is to be true. And I dabbled in some things that were really, really bad, and like spiritually speaking. And I had lost my way. I was depressed to the point of feeling suicidal. I was unhappy in basically every way imaginable. And God just did not give up on me. He kept calling me, and I wasn't listening, so he had to take drastic measures and put you and your mom in my life.
The thing is sometimes that's what it takes.
You're so right. Being around you two and the love that you just emanate for Jesus, for God, it really activated that desire to want that relationship. Previously, I had an experience that I won't go into too much detail about, but I was made very aware I was in a battle for my spiritual soul. And I reached out to your mom, and she helped me pray to ask God back into my heart again, you know. I don't know if I had ever done it fully given that I had fallen so far. I'm not sure, but, and I've been just my desire to learn and be in the Word and, get closer to my precious Savior. It's been amazing. I still struggle with some mental health, but I feel like God is carrying me through those hard times. I feel like God is always with me now, and it's not even a tenth of how intense the overwhelming sadness was. Now there's this love and joy in my heart because I know Jesus is right there with me every step of the way. I am so grateful and thankful to God.
Yes, that thanks for sharing that. And I want to thank you, Jade, for sharing that with me. And I will say this. You know, everybody, when your testimony's like that, I would say this. Everybody has their own testimony. It's not always going to be, you know, maybe I started off in church and then left the church, and ran astray, got into things you should know, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, someone comes in your life and then you have that chance to get right with God and you take it. It's not always like that. Now for me, I don't want to say I've been goody two-shoes necessarily or little Mr. Perfect or anything like that. But I will say this. I've never truly ran away from God. I've never really truly decided I'm not going to do the God thing anymore. I'm going to abandon. I'm going to, you know, like maybe deep down inside I love him, but just going to do some other stuff. I've always been, you know, generally faithful to attend church and not just get in a habit of woefully, you know, skipping boatloads of church services on a regular basis and that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, when I was a teenager, I struggled with some things that, you know, teenagers also kind of struggle with, sometimes maybe a little bit with my mouth and some things like that. But, you know, God freed me of that. And, yeah, when I was 11, I went through, 11, 12, went through some behavior stuff. I dealt with some behavior stuff I wish I didn't do. But I never did run from God. You know, I was always proud to be a Christian. I've always been, proud of that. I mean, I've had to fight certain things spiritually, like lots of Christians do have to stuff. Like sometimes we have to deal with some pride. Sometimes we have to deal with some sin of familiarity. Sometimes we have to deal with some things like that. And I remember a few years ago being told by my mom even, and she had said, well, Riv, at one point in your life, you had some pride to deal with. And I'm thinking, you're probably right. The thing is, with pride is just like bad breath. Everybody knows you have it, but you. It's not like some other things that you might know that you're doing it, like lying, for example. When you got that bad kind of pride, everybody knows you have it but you. We're lying. You might know you're lying, but someone else might not. You know, depending on what it is. But, you know, my point being made is everybody has their own different testimony, and I have other different testimonies of how my body had been healed of different things, and You know, and when you, God moves in your heart, in your life, you should never be afraid to share that with somebody.
Amen.
Because that can be a fear, fear of telling people what God's done for you. You should be able to tell what God's done for you without fear. Without fear of, what will my friends say? What will they do when I tell them? What will they do? How will they react when, if I say anything like, well, I used to be like this. I used to be like, you know, stuff like that. I remember I was somewhere once at this church somewhere in Detroit area years ago, and my dad took to the platform to share kind of his life testimony, and he had said some things that he had gotten delivered from that I didn't know that in his youth he had necessarily done. I knew he was into some trouble, but I didn't know that he had done certain things. And like, I didn't, in my mind, where there was no, huh? You know, like any judgment, and of course, I was like, well, good job, Dad. I'm glad you're free. You know, stuff like that. But, you know, the truth is, of course, he had been freed for years up to that point. But you know, it's always cool when people share their testimony. But I think greatest testimony you can have is someone who has been there, right, with God along. But that doesn't mean they've been perfect. It just means they haven't fallen away. And the same can be said for those who have been brought up in a truly Christian home, like I was. I don't want to say I had the luxury of it necessarily, but I was able to be brought up in a Christian home. After my mom had gotten freed from, you know, the spirit of drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and smoking. And this was all just before I was born. And she was committed that she was changing her life, giving her life to Jesus. And it paid off for her. And sometimes I wonder, what would it be like if my mom didn't give her life to Jesus when she had those opportunities? What if she had decided, this isn't for me? What if she had decided, I knew a form of godliness, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, and, you know, I had went to church, you know, but then I kind of went off my own way. And then what if she had decided, I'm not going back to Jesus. You crazy. But no, she decided to accept Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She decided to clean it up and get right with God and have that true relationship with God. And if you read my book, you would know. Right from the get-go, when I was born, it was not an easy ride. It was not an easy ride. It's not an easy ride when your dad's chin is where his ear's supposed to be. I mean, his jaw is where his ear's supposed to be. That's not an easy ride. What are you supposed to do then? Well, I'm grateful she had gotten right with God. If she hadn't, the chance that I would still be alive here today is so close to zero, it's unreal. It is so close to zero, it's unreal. And so
I think everybody that's ever met you is so thankful that you are here. You are such a shining light and example of the love of Christ.
I do, and I am one of those people who I don't allow myself to say that it's just because you know the different disabilities, what have you, or what have you. It's not just because my mom gave her life to Christ before I was born. For those of you who think, that's why you're still with God. No, I've chosen to stick with God. I've decided for myself. I gave my life to Jesus at a young age or so. And I haven't fallen away from it. I've decided to, as they say, just keep on keeping on.
Amen.
And you listeners, you do what you want to do, floats your boat, but I'm going to keep on keeping on, whether you like it or not. I'm just going to keep on keeping on in the things of God. And so that's why, and so I'm thankful, to God that I'm still alive. And I say that to say, you can go online to riversofmiracles.com. Again, that is rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how God's always been there for me, and he continues to fight for me now today, even to this day. And I know he has me, he holds me in the palm of his hand. And it's not one of those things that I just sit there and look at circumstances and go, well, I wish. No, I know he has me. And the truth is, as we go through the circumstances of life, we can rest assured that God has us. And you don't want to see, I got this, I got that, and this and that, and then all of a sudden just decide to be, all depressed and all that. No. You got to get in your mind that God has you in the palm of his hand, and that he's fighting for us. He's fighting for those that are his children, for those that love him. He fights for them. And he's pushing up, he's pushing back the darkness. He's lighting up the kingdom. He's lighting it up. And you can go online to that website, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about how you can get that book into your hands. You can even order a digital copy if you would like and avail yourself to that. Because in this day and age, you have some people who like to read the old-fashioned way, paperback book. You have other people who like to just read the whole thing digitally. And so we've made that available for you, either way that you would like to read the book. Praise God for that. Amen. Thank God for modern technology.
Amen.
And thank God for that, as long as it's used for the right reason. And I've heard some things lately about this whole AI, artificial intelligence things. I've heard some things. I'm not going to take the time tonight to delve into some of the things, but there's some scary stuff. But obviously you can use it to do some good things too, I'm sure. So,
Amen, like this radio show.
Yeah, but I was talking about AI. I was talking about technology specific. I was talking specifically about AI.
Oh,
of course. But now on this program, I'm not exactly using AI. Now, we are using modern technology and a website, blogtalkradio.com. And your listeners can tell other people how they can log in to the program. And it's awesome. You know, one thing I hope ChatGPT can do. I hope that you can write into ChatGPT, listen to the Miracle Man radio program. I really hope people will be able to do that. I hope they will. And if they put ChatGPT on the App Store, that's going to be the first thing. That just might be the first thing I ask ChatGPT to do, to see whether or not it'll do it. I hope it doesn't. I hope it doesn't say, I don't know. Do you think it knows?
I have no idea.
I hope it does. That'll be awesome if it does know. Then people will actually use it.
That'd be
pretty cool. I hope it doesn't say anything like, oh, it's against my policy. What? But, you know, but there's also bad things behind. These AIs. So, just saying. No, I'm leaving that alone. Okay. So, the other thing I want to remind you folks about that I always do is giving into the Miracle Man program to help keep this show going, help keep it reaching more and more people. And I'm believing God for this to just keep on growing, for more and more people to hear this program and to give their life to Jesus, for Jesus to find them.
Amen for that. Go on fishing.
Amen. Go on fishing. We're going fishing. And I hear some people, you know, I've heard before where some people will say, well, I found the Lord. Oh, you found the Lord? Oh, no, you didn't find him. He was never lost. He found you.
Amen.
He found you and all your misery. You didn't just find him. So some of you folks will be driving and you might just miss your exit for whatever silly reason. And you just miss your exit and have to turn around. And then you miss your next exit. Then you miss your next exit. I know someone who has missed many exits in their lifetime, some of which I've been in the car with them when they've done it. No, they're not sitting here with me right now, but this person shall be nameless.
You know, what's really fun is missing those exits in the semi-trailer.
Oh, you've done that?
Oh, I've done that plenty of times.
What?
Yeah. If only I'd prayed Jesus take the wheel then.
Oh, if only you said, take the wheel so I don't miss this exit. And sometimes that was a very important exit.
More often than not, yeah.
It wasn't just one of those, there's another exit I can take 1 mile down that'll get me basically to the same place.
Yeah. But, you know, that's an awesome way to look at life, too. You know, you always assume there's another exit that you can turn around, but if you're not familiar with the territory, you might just be out of luck. Thankfully, God can direct us back to the right path like he did to me, you know?
Yep. It's not always like, or as I might say it now, it's not always just like Great Lakes Crossing, like where there's an exit 1 mile down that literally will take you right back to the same place. That'll get you right, you know, to the mall. Might be to the other side, kind of more or less, but it still gets you to where you need to go. You know, it doesn't always work like that. Like, or to that, or in your case, maybe to that factory or to that, you know, it's not always like that.
Yeah, it certainly isn't.
Like, so, sometimes it could have, I'm guessing you've made it, you went 20 miles out of your way over a missed exit,
oh,
right?
Oh, I
Was it like 60 miles? 50, 60, 80?
Not quite that far, but I'd say the longest I've had to go is probably about 35 miles out of my way just because I missed the exit I was supposed to go to.
And you go, and then, what?
Yeah, pretty much.
When did you discover that you had missed the exit? Like 10 miles later?
About 5 miles later, but there was nowhere for me to turn around.
And it's not like it was in a downtown either. It was out in the country somewhere.
Correct the mundo, my friend.
And sometimes you might have been in a big area, like near a big downtown, and you could have just got off, used a couple one-way streets.
You know, the worst place to do that really is I was down in New Mexico, and I was out in the back part of the highways, like the ones that mostly truckers and people who've been there a while know about. And I tell you,
out in the back 40?
You'll be pretty much, yeah. I tell you, man, it can take forever to try to turn around if you miss your turn. It really can. I had to wait 5 hours once just to stop to use the bathroom.
All because?
I missed my turn.
You had to sit there and wait for cars to go by?
No, I just, there wasn't, it was out in the boondock, so there was no way, no place for me to go.
And in some of those mountainous areas, when you're way out west like that, not like this part of the country, like where, you know, basically, like if you're on like Interstate 75 or something, you know, about every 10, 15 miles or less, you'll find an exit.
Right.
And you can usually, you know, likely find an exit where you can go park your semi and go, you know, and get back in the semi.
Yeah, there's not always places for big semis to park. And that's why I brought it up, is because you were talking about how, you know, missing signs is correlate with the spirituality part. It really does, because in life, you never know when that next turnaround is going to be.
You never know about it. Well, that next year, and it's like this, folks. You cannot serve God strictly the way you want to. You have to, if you're going to keep serving God, you have to do it the way he serves to, the way he says to. Got to do it the way he says, not just the way necessarily the way you want and only the way you want.
Yeah, because then you're not serving him, you're serving yourself, right?
Yeah, and that's so what some people might call that hybrid model doesn't work. Well, like this idea of I do what God said to do when I want to do the things that when you'll be like, you got to eat the whole lamb, not just the part you want because it's the part that tastes good.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, I'll do this stuff because it feels good. I'll do this because it feels good. I'll do that. Rub shoulders with these people because it feels good. I won't do this because when my pastor teaches on this, it bugs me. That's bad when you get into that whole thing. You know, you got to serve him the way he says to, not strictly the way you want to. And you should want to serve him. You should want to. You really should. But all things considered, you can sow your seed into the Miracle Man program by going online to paypal.com. In the search bar, you'll type in my name, Rivers Shukla. Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind, if you would, please keep in mind that the first R in Rivers is capitalized, as is the S in Shukla. Also, there is a space between Rivers and Shukla, and I just want you to make a note of that. Also, I don't tell you folks what to give. That's between you and God. It's between you and God. I don't make this a pressuring thing, like where I try to pressurize you all and try to get you to give a certain amount of money. That's not the way I operate this. And by the way, Natalia, if you're tuned in right now, thank you so much. are always sowing that seed that you do. Thank you for that. And whenever I get notification about seed being sown, I always pray over that. And so there's a verse I want to share with you. And it says, therefore, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. It's not, it's according to, it's not like, oh, he just supplies it based on, you know, what the market did today. You know, this index went up, that index went down. It doesn't go by the fluctuation of the economy. It's according to his riches and glory. You shall have all sufficiency to every good work. Not just one good work. Not just two, three, four, five, or six. All good works. Amen. You can rest assured knowing that. Got a couple of songs going up for you. So you can do number one first.
Yep, I'll get that started.
Yep, we're gonna just... I have decided, to wait upon you, Lord. My God and my Savior, yield and reward, we wait upon you, Lord. As surely as the sun will rise, you'll come to us. Certain as the dawn appears, you'll come. Let your glory fall as you respond to us. Spirit, rain, flood into our thirsty hearts again. You'll come. You'll come. We are not shaken. We are not moved. We wait upon you, Lord. My mighty deliverer of triumph and truth, we wait upon you, Lord. As surely as the sun will rise, you'll come to us. Certain as your word endures, you'll come. Let your glory fall as you respond to us. Spirit, rain, flood into our thirsty hearts again. You'll come. Chains be broken. Lives be healed, eyes be opened, Christ is revealed. Chains be broken, lives be healed. I'll be open, Christ is revealed. You'll come. Let your glory fall as you respond to us. Spirit breathe, flood into our thirsty hearts again. You come, let your glory fall as you respond to us. Spirit breath, flood into our thirsty hearts again. You come. Amen. All right, let's go to next one.
Okay, can we see how much?
Yes. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In upon your presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall live. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. So wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Is my Savior's love for me. Is my Savior's love for me.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Lord. Now we got one left.
Want
to play
an
instrument?
Musician.
Oh, we got a commercial.
Sorry.
Still working out the kinks of this new bit. That's a different You Are Holy song. That's a different one. I saw the Lord seated on his throne. He was clothed in glory, exalted high. In the train of his robe, it filled the temple, and the angels circled round him and cried, "You and woe is me, for I was unclean. Now my eyes have seen the Holy King, and he cleansed my lips right before I died, and the pillar shook as the angels cried, "You are holy." You are holy, also holy. You are holy, Lord of all. You are holy, also holy. You are holy, Lord of all. Thank you, Jesus. You are holy. You are holy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you are to us, who you are to us. Thank you, Master, that you are always there for us.
Amen.
You're always there for us, no matter what we may face. You're always there. Thank you for who you are to us, for what you are to us. Thank you that soon, and very soon, we're going to see the King. And it's not because we're broken up, beat down, can't go another day. No, No. That's not how we are, Lord. But thank you, Lord, that soon, very soon, we are going to see the King. And you're going to pick us up and you're going to take us in your arms. And thank you, Master, for what you're doing in each and every one of us. Not only for what you're doing now, but what you have done, and also what you're going to do. And I thank you for our time in this word tonight. And that every person who needs to hear this broadcast, I pray that they will all have a chance to hear it and they can be blessed by it. And I thank you, Lord, for that, that you're leading people to this broadcast, people who in their mind they don't have hope, but they can find hope in you.
Amen.
And I thank you, Lord, for that. They can find hope in you. They can find trust in you. And I thank you, Master, for that. And now I make my, I thank you, Lord, that you meet every need represented on this program, as you know what they have need of in their body and their minds and their, and you know what it is that they need, even when they don't. You do. And I thank you, Master, for that in your name. And now I make my confession over this program, that sponsors and partners come in, that finances come into the program, that increases in listenership come into the program. Most importantly, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen.
Amen.
I want you to go with me, if you've got your Bible, go with me, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to go to chapter 5. And I want to talk about how if we're in Christ, we are a new creation, a new creation. Amen. So I want to start at verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We actually had a president a few years ago in this country. President Trump had... Will you be quiet, you little disruptor? It has to restart to install it. But that's why I had to silence that little disruptor. I had to make it be quiet and not try to reject the word of the Lord. You software, do any of your listeners know how I can get software saved so that it doesn't disrupt the miracle man when he's trying to speak? Oh! Soon I'll be away. All right. All in all seriousness, though, 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to begin with verse 1. And it says here, Now we know that the earthly tent that we live in is destroyed, then we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and we are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by love. No, it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. Listeners, pay attention to that right there. When we say, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight, it's not just some little nicey Christian cliche. No, there's proof to that. We walk by faith, not by sight. You say, what's that mean? That means you don't allow yourself to walk. You know, just walking your life with God. You know, based on your circumstances or based on how you feel. You know, how do you feel today? What do you see today? When we're away from the body, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while he is in the body, whether good or evil. Now we talk about the ministry of reconciliation. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope that it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but we are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. And therefore, all died. And he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You say, what does that mean? He died so that you can live for him. Jesus died so you could live for him and stop living for yourself, see? He died so that you could live for him. That's a good way to think of it. Verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Or the way we would say that in 2023, at least here in the U.S., we would say, we don't think of it this way anymore. We don't do that anymore. Stop doing that. Now, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and now the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us by himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We'll look at the first two verses of six, just to kind of give you that last little bit of context. We're not going to go into the next passage, but just the first two verses. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. For he has said, so you see that verse 2 there? That was God. That was a quote from God. God literally says, you know, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. He literally said that in that verse. God quoted. God was literally quoting that. And so, but you see, back in chapter 5, in verse 17, he says, if any person is in Christ, they live in Christ, they ask Jesus into their heart for the first time, you know, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, you were just born. Obviously, you have to be born in order to be born again. You have to first be born of water. I'm not going to do that Mark thing right now. This is serious. But you have to first be born of water through your mother's womb in order to even receive being born again. So it's not like, you know, and even in John talks about that, because one of those Pharisees, which always tried to find ways to make life difficult for Jesus. he said, well, how can a man be born while he is old? Silly question, isn't it? Like, how can you be born when you're old? Realizing that that's not the kind of born that he was talking about. He wasn't talking about going back into your mother's womb and then coming back out. Nope. That born again is referring to giving your life to Jesus and no longer to yourself. And you see, Jesus died. Jesus died so we could live for him and no longer be strictly living for ourselves. And you know, you got to look and wonder, you know, am I really living for him? Or am I just thinking, well, I don't know if he's real or not. I don't know. Is it really worth it to live for him? Is it really worth it to follow his commands? Is it really worth it? To me, I've decided it's worth it to serve him and to honor him. And I hope that you will too. And decide that it's not worth it to just, you know, strictly live for yourself and for your own earthly desires, for your own earthly good, for your own earthly feelings, you know, whatever it might be that you might want. But then it says, you know, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, a new has come. Part of that is referring to, you know, that we have a covenant with Jesus. We do. We have a covenant with Jesus. We have a covenant with him. When he died for us on that cross, that made a way for us, that we could be saved, that we could ask him to be our Lord and Savior. He died that we could live for him. He didn't die so we could die. He died so we could live. And it's pretty cool. Those first few verses of that chapter, they talk about heaven and what that heavenly body is going to be like. And you know something about heaven? We'll all look great in heaven. All you ladies will look beautiful. You'll look very pretty. You know, all you gentlemen will look very handsome. You will. You'll look very handsome. And you know something about our heavenly bodies? No one is overly not skinny, and no one is overly skinny either. Our bodies are perfect. No chubbos and no scrawnies. Because in the past I've teased before and I've talked about this. And I've teased and said, no chubbos in heaven. But then others, there might be some others that might be kind of scrawny. And I'm like, there's no scrawny there either. You're just right. You know, and in heaven, you won't be concerned about how old you are. You really won't be. And about that, for some of you who might say, oh, I'm so old, I'm 85 years old, or 80 or 90 or 95 or 100 or whatever. No, you're not too old. You're just ripe. You're just right. And for some of you that think, you know, because I'm retired, I won't even go to church anymore. Oh, really? Oh, really? So you're going to retire from God also? Some of you might need to get refired. Refirement. I mean, you know, if you put in good work and ready to retire, you know, and you're, you know, a little more up there in age and you're ready to retire and, you know, have it. But you don't want to retire from God. You don't want to retire from God. And some of you might be laughing if you are, you know. I've heard it when Dr. Roddy Howard Brown has said this, you know, about that whole retirement thing. And so, like, some of you need to get retirement. And you know, the truth is he's in Florida. He's in Florida, the place where so many retirees end up going. So many end up going there. And the funny thing is, you know, I'm sure there's quite a few of them in this church. I'm not saying most of them are by any means, but I'm sure there's some. And so that's why he'll always say that. Every once in a while he'll say that. Because after all, it is Florida that he's in. People will go down there because they like the sun. They like that there's over 300 days a year of sunshine. Whereas up here, where I live, here in central Michigan, our sunny day count, 171. 171. Sometimes I doubt we even get that. Don't you?
Although it is sunny today, but cold.
Yeah, but true sunny days, 171. Really? That's it? Less sunny days than school days? Really? Oh. In my mind, there always needs to be more sunny days in a year than school days. More. Like maybe 180 school days or 175 or whatever, but at least like 190 sunny days, 200, 210.
I think a lot of us could get behind you on that.
Yes, but nonetheless, you know, in heaven, you know, the truth is in heaven, you know, none of us have to worry about that age thing in heaven. Because we all look, you know, like a good age. And we all, you know, we have our heavenly bodies. And our heavenly bodies, they're perfect. They really are. They really are perfect. And there's nothing wrong with them at all. And in heaven, it's how God intended it to be. It is true paradise. It is not a pair of dice. That's different. you know, like dice that you roll when you play dice. But honestly, folks. So that reconciliation. That, you know, part of that means that, you know, Jesus is the forgiver. He forgives your sin. He died for your sin so you could be free from that sin. Not feel free to go out and keep sinning. I know there's what's called user-friendly, seeker-sensitive churches. Instead of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, they're sensitive to people who want a new church to go to. And what I mean by they call it seeker sensitive. they like to tickle your ear, people's ears, and they'll basically say, Jesus died so you could be free to, you know, go and, you know, maybe drink a little bit of alcohol, but don't get drunk. And sometimes that's what they'll preach. I'll be like, it's okay to drink a little alcohol, just don't get drunk. Oh, really? It's okay if you go, you know, do, you know, smoke a little bit of marijuana. Just try not to get high. Okay? I mean, okay. There's other sins, you know, go ahead and just as long as you don't go too far. Okay. But sin is sin. Jesus died on the cross so you could be free from it. Not freed to go keep doing it. When Jesus healed that man at the pool, you know, after the pool, he told that man that he had healed, stop sinning or something worse will come upon you. That man who had been an invalid for 38 years. And that person had obviously been in some sin prior to that. And he told him, stop sinning. And if you've been sinning against God, you need to repent. Miracle Man, did you really say that? Yes. Some user-friendly, some of those seeker-sensitive pastors will not say the repent word. Some of these churches who try to water down the word, and maybe they might not even be back to in-person services yet. Maybe their campus is closed. And they might say, they won't use the repent word. You say, Miracle Man, what do you mean repent? You know, repent. Tell God you're sorry. Tell God you've sinned against him, you know, and confess before him. And turn away from it. Stop doing it. And you may wonder, well, when do I stop repenting? When you stop sinning. When you stop sinning, then you can stop repenting. When you stop sinning. The Bible tells us that all men, all humans, have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short at some point in our life. And none of us are perfect. None of us are. And you may have a slip again. When you do it, whenever that happens, don't do it intentionally. Don't do that sin intentionally. But when you realize you've done it, you be sure to repent to God. And you know, I think about Judas. He went and tried to repent to who he sinned with instead of to go repent to who he sinned against, which was Jesus. That's bad. When you go and repent to who you sinned with instead of to who you sinned against, that's a mistake. Don't do that. I mean, it's good when you repent to who you sinned with and to go apologize to them and say, yeah, we shouldn't have done that. But it's real important that you repent to who you sinned against. And obviously when you're sinning. You're sinning against God. But you see, we're created anew. We're created anew. Where the old has passed away, the new has come. Behold, the mercies of God are new every morning, every day. Not one day a week, once a month. Nope. Every morning, they're new for us, for you and me. And we can rest assured in that, knowing that, all of his mercies are new for us each and every day. Because he loves us. That's why. And he really does love us. He really does. He cares about us. And that's why he would do this for us. And you know, for in him, we're a new creation. Not born by the same. You know, that we had been before. We would have been in Christ. And this whole thing of we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, you don't want to let life circumstances try to control. I feel like even what the doctor said at your last checkup, what your last appointment you might have went to or over the phone or whatever. You know, one way to not get healed could be to maybe just decide, I guess, you know, my back will never get healed. They say it's bad. And they say that it's just totally messed up and I'll be like this for the rest of my life. And I don't know if Jesus is going to be there to help me or not. When you do that, instead of going by faith and saying, I heard what that doctor said, I'm not denying them. You know, I respect their credentials. But, however, I serve a healing God. I serve a Jesus that heals me. And by his stripes, I am healed. You see, when you do that, and you put works to that faith, and, you know, when you do that, then you are walking by faith, and not just walking by what you see. Meaning what you see around you. In other words, what he's saying there, in our modern English, we would say, we walk by faith and not by our current circumstances, whatever that might be. You know, we trust in him, and we say, through him, we can do all things. Through Christ, who strengthens us. And you may say this thing of we are God's ambassadors. Somebody might say, what does that mean? That means telling people about Jesus. Other people should know that you're saved, that you're born again. People should know it, you know. When they say something like, oh, they're different, you know, I noticed something about them. What is it? And you should be able to tell them rather than just be, I don't know. Peter did that, I don't know. He denied Christ 3 times. And then that rooster crowed after the 3rd time. Actually, in Mark, that rooster crowed, a rooster crowed the 1st time. Then, after the 3rd denial, it crowed again. That rooster, the crowed on command. He denied. Rooster crowed. I think the rooster could hear him, what he was doing. Do you think that rooster could hear it?
I think that rooster may have been able to hear it.
Do you think he was almost put there right in front of Peter's ear, or at least somehow was somehow set up so that maybe the rooster just had great hearing?
I think that rooster was placed there specifically for its purpose.
But by God.
Yeah.
And that rooster was Peter's warning. That's what that rooster was.
It sure was.
It wasn't no, just not to me. Oh, it's just a little rooster. It'll be quiet in a minute. It's 3 a.m., but who cares? It'll be quiet in a minute. Nope. I mean, after all, it was in the night, so I imagine it could have been like 3 a.m. or something. Could have been something like that. But the truth is, you know, it's important to stand what you believe in, and not just say, I don't know, you know, but be bold. Be bold and be strong. That's what you got to do, and not just, you know, try to hide it, you know, hide under a radar and, you know, try to just pretend. No, because the truth is, you know, there's only one thing we can take with us to heaven. And it's not our sports car. And
what?
It's not our house. And it's not our semi-truck.
What? I can't take my truck with me?
Nope. I'm sorry, your semi. I don't know if your semi-truck was going to fit in the it was, but that doesn't go with you. I'm sure there'll be a semi for you, though.
Well, I hope it's Long Nose Pete Custom.
It's
with big chrome stacks.
Yeah. And maybe on this one, maybe you can go like 100 in it. Maybe in this semi, you'll be able to drive like 100 miles an hour on the freeway with it.
Oh, that is my heaven.
Yeah. I would love that. Being in a semi, going like 100 down 75.
Yes.
And like in real life.
If I get a semi in heaven, you're welcome to ride with me whenever you want.
Yes, I know.
We'll honk the horns at the children there.
Oh, yes. And guess what else? That semi can park in any spot. you'll just be able to speak to it and have it, you know, just fold up in a certain way so that you can park your semi in that spot.
Preach.
I like this idea.
I'm there for it.
Like if only you could do that like in any parking lot here and be like, semi full.
God, yeah, I like this. Yep.
And then it just folds to be just like your SUV. You know, and it'll nicely fit into any parking spot, and then it'll re-unfold. You know, when you get out of that parking lot and you get ready to get, you know, back out on the road. You know, wherever you are. But truth is, you know, that, you know, all that stuff you built up on Earth, all that stuff you stored up on Earth, won't go with you to heaven. The only thing that's going to go with you to heaven is people, 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 people. Purple. You know, it almost sounds like a chicken when I said it like that. I know, but my point is, the only thing you can take with you to heaven is people. Not your dog, not your cat, not your horse. But I'm sure they'll be those things. They'll be ponies for the kiddos, I'm sure. Maybe they'll even be nice big ponies for some of us adults who decided that it would have been so nice to have a pony, and we never got a chance to ride them. And there, I'm not sure that there we even have to get on them a certain way. We just get on there and say, roll! And then, you know, we just takes us for a ride, you know? And it just takes us for a nice. And then, of course, they have lots of energy, so they can just fly right through everything.
Oh, I would love to have energy.
I'm talking about, wouldn't you love to have a pony?
A pony with energy would be nice, but just having the energy of the pony would be nice.
What about if you had a pony? Wouldn't it be nice to have one of those ponies? Like it's a cool pony. It's like bigger than the ponies you might have rode at Meyer when you were little. That'd
be pretty cool. Hey, Rivers, we got about 2 minutes left. Is there anything you wanted to make sure they hear before?
All right, folks. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this message that it would get in us, that these people would realize that we are made new in you, Jesus. We would realize that they really understand the heart of this message and that they would repent if they've been sinning against you. I pray that they would repent if they don't know you as their Lord and Savior. I pray that they would seek you right now and give their life to you. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.